He slept through his alarm, slept through breakfast and his morning run, and nearly slept through the 9 o'clock meeting. He stumbled in, barely dressed and yawning, only to find the rest of them all cheery and caffeinated. Damn, he really needed a cup of coffee. And of course, Elizabeth noticed. "John, are you all right?" He jerked awake again. "What? Oh, yeah, fine. Just didn't get much sleep." Elizabeth frowned and started adding two and two and getting six. "Are you feeling ill? Maybe you should go to the infirmary again, just to get checked out." "No, really, I'm fine." And damn it, he could prove it. They were supposed to be what? Oh, yeah, planning a mission. He turned to McKay, who looked unfairly awake for someone who'd been up almost as late as John had. "Rodney, tell us why we want to go to M9J478. Before Rodney could answer, Elizabeth cut in with, "I want you checked again before you go off-world. No arguments, John. We need to make sure that you're really okay." She was really being a dog with a bone about this, which meant the fastest way to make her lay off was to give in. "Okay, sure. I'll get checked out. Rodney?" So Rodney did his thing, explaining about the thing they needed to get from the thing there, and John could pretend to be awake enough to get Elizabeth off his back. They finished up their planning, and John headed for the infirmary, just like he'd promised. "Back again?" Carson asked, his eyebrows doing their patented concern dance. "Elizabeth caught me napping in a meeting. It was the easiest way to make her stop fussing." Carson smiled. "You haven't been getting bored on duty again, I hope." John nearly choked, but managed to turn it into a cough. "Nah, no more shirking my duty. I was just annoyed with Rodney because he was being slow." "Right then, let's get a scan of you." So he got scanned again, and Carson's eyebrows went up again, but at least this time he didn't blush or anything. "Well," he said, his eyes on the screen, "it appears that your acetylcholine levels are a wee bit higher than usual, but it might just be a normal fluctuation in neurotransmitter activity. How are you feeling?" "I'm fine," John said firmly. "I just had kind of a late night last night." "Oh, aye, that might explain it. Well, just make sure you get a good night's sleep tonight, and let me know if you feel anything unusual. Tremors, sweating, pounding heart, digestive problems, anything like that." It was John's turn to raise his eyebrows. "Honestly, I feel fine. Just a little sleepy." "Well, that's only to be expected if you won't go to bed at a decent hour," Carson said, and sent him on his way. He wasn't going to go down to the sex chamber. He really wasn't. He needed sleep more than he needed to jerk off. But after dinner, he somehow found himself at the Northeast Pier. Okay, that was weird. He hadn't meant to come here. He really should go back to his room. But instead, John just slipped through the force field. He stepped into the little room, shucked his clothes, and sat down. The chair was really amazingly comfortable, so soft it was almost like he couldn't feel it. It was like he was floating in water or air, disconnected, untethered, ungrounded. The sensation started slowly, right inside him, spreading outward in a warm wash. It felt good, really. But actually, it was kind of unsettling not to be in control of it, not to have anyone who could say faster or slower or, yeah, right there, too. Not that it didn't seem to know what worked for him, but that was strange, too, thinking it could read his mind. In minutes, he was tingling from his ears to the soles of his feet, but it still felt weirdly off-kilter, and suddenly he couldn't take it, couldn't wait. He was too tired, too wired. He needed release. He was dying for release. He... "Damn it," he said, and the orgasm hit just like that, sharp and fast and strangely unsatisfying. John let the device clean him up, and then scrambled to his feet. Okay, so apparently you could have bad sex even with a sex machine, and the worst part was, he couldn't blame anyone but himself. He'd been thinking too much, that was the problem. The thing was what it was, take it or leave it. Nothing said he had to come down here. He yanked on his clothes, rebuckled his holster, and headed out. At least the device didn't have any feelings he could hurt. It could have been worse. He was on the other side of the force field when it struck him. An orgasm that bad meant he really deserved another. Seriously, he was due. He turned on his heel and stepped forward, and reeled back in pain when the force field zapped him. "Hey!" he said, and tried the door controls, but no amount of poking or mental gymnastics would make the force field go down. He was locked out. So, okay, it wasn't just that it only let him in when he was alone. Apparently it wouldn't let him in right after he'd just come out, and that was cruel and unusual and really just arbitrary. He tried the door controls again, and another time, and a time after that. Right. John stepped back and glared at the implacable shimmer. Apparently there was no point in messing with something Rodney hadn't been able to crack, even if it was completely unfair. Even if his head was buzzing and his hands were clammy, and damn it, he wanted back in there. John headed back to his room and tried to sleep, but he only managed to doze fitfully. He woke with a start and sat up in bed. His clock read a little after midnight, which meant it had been more than 5 hours since he'd last tried the force field. Maybe it would let him in now. He felt strangely shaky, but he pulled his clothes on and made his way back to the corridor, where the force field still shimmered its faint, inscrutable glow. This time it was more careful. He touched a single finger to the shimmery space, and received another zap for his efforts, damn it. It really wasn't right. He wanted a decent orgasm. He deserved a decent orgasm. But his breathing felt shallow, and his heart was racing, and the thought of his own hand was completely unappealing right now. Okay, that was weird. He was usually on pretty good terms with his right hand. They'd been through a lot together. It didn't seem right to not want that. Just out of curiosity, he rubbed himself through his pants. It felt, well, it didn't feel bad. It just didn't feel remotely appealing. Not when there was the perfect orgasm just waiting for him behind that stupid fucking force field. John shoved his hand out again recklessly and jerked back in pain. Damn it, that felt even stronger than before. Like it knew what he was trying to do and was trying to tell him to just give up already. Yeah, okay. Okay, he could take a hint. John turned and stumbled back to his room. He didn't need a sex machine. He wasn't that far gone yet. Once again, he fell on the bed fully clothed and eventually dropped into a restless sleep. John hated just culled planets. They made him feel helpless, and no matter what he did to assist the survivors, there was nothing but misery and death all around. So by the time they got back from N9J847, he was tired and cranky, and really, really hoping the damn force field would change its mind and let him in already. "So, hey, you want to play a game of chess or two?" Rodney asked after dinner. And okay, they'd been playing a lot recently, ever since the game had been shut down, but John wasn't up for that right now. Right now, he had exactly one thing on his mind. "Actually, I've got something else I've got to do," he said with a shrug. "Sorry, maybe some other time." "Right, yeah, okay," Rodney said, and John didn't feel guilty about the little lost face he made. Well, not very guilty. He dumped his tray and headed to his room for a few minutes, just to make sure no one was looking for him. He tried turning on his computer and checking his email, but he couldn't concentrate. The words made sense, but the meaning behind them didn't, and all he could think about was the damn chair. There was a weird, jittery feeling in his stomach that refused to go away. He just needed to know if it was going to let him in. He needed to know now. The transporter was just down the hall. It only took a few seconds to get there and press the right location on the destination map. He approached the corridor slowly. Not that he thought the thing was going to zap him before he actually touched it, but a little caution wouldn't hurt. But when he reached a careful hand up to the shimmer, it was like it wasn't even there. No pain. Nothing. Thank God. The chair was there waiting for him, like it had never refused him, like all was forgiven. And wow, okay, that was fucked up. He was starting to think of it as sentient, which it really, really wasn't. John stripped efficiently and sat down. The chair's surface felt as soft as leather, molding to his body like it remembered him perfectly. He closed his eyes and waited, willing it to be good again, not like the last time. Anything. He could take anything, just not like the last time. The sensation started slowly, like always. Sweet and slow, building to more and more intense, inside and out, and God, it was good. Everything was forgotten and forgiven. It was nothing but good, nothing but pleasure, and he was rocking, aching, needing. He let it go on for as long as he could, let it wash through him and over him, let it thrum the whole length of his body, until he couldn't bear it any longer and had to whisper, "Please." It hit like 7 G's, banking into a turn, and for a moment he couldn't move, couldn't breathe, couldn't do anything, and then he was curling up out of the chair and coming and coming and coming. When it was finally over, he slumped back down, flushed and sated, and wow, seriously relieved. He forced himself to get up after the cleanup part, because he really didn't need a second round right now. He pulled his clothes on, holstered his sidearm, and headed out through the force field, only to find McKay, large as life, sitting on the floor of the corridor with his data pad out. John's gut congealed. Rodney? Pure shock made it an accusation. What the hell do you think you're doing here? Rodney's eyes went wide, and he clambered to his feet. Don't you think that's my line? What the hell, Shepard? Getting zapped once wasn't enough for you? But then Rodney's face brightened with smug realization. Oh no, wait, I get it. You're still jealous because I got turned into a super genius and Elizabeth wouldn't let you try it. And that's perfectly understandable, but if anything, whatever's in there seems to be turning you into an idiot. And if you want to prove me wrong, you'll take that force field down right now. Can't, John said, pretty sure it was true. Rodney turned an interesting shade of purple. What do you mean, can't? You just did. There's some kind of built-in delay, John said. It's at least 6 hours, maybe more. Prove it. John shifted on his feet. I can't. I mean, I can show you it doesn't let me in automatically. And he reached his hand out carefully until the force field gave him a, fortunately, fairly small zap. But see, that doesn't prove anything, because we both know there's a mental component. Yes, yes, Rodney said impatiently. So think it off. I'm trying, John said, passing his hand over the door control and thinking open at it. See? No dice. Rodney frowned at him, like he wasn't sure whether to believe him or not. Okay, okay, he said finally. Meet me here in 8 hours. No excuses then. Oh, great. That was just not a good idea. Rodney... Rodney lifted his chin. What? Is my concern bothering you? Or do you think no one needs to know what that damn thing did to you? John frowned and looked away. This was seriously not Rodney's business, and it felt damn weird to have Rodney fussing about him. Usually he was the one looking after Rodney. Look, it's not anything to worry about, okay? You're making too big a deal out of this. Rodney widened his stance, clearly not mollified. How do you know that? It could be anything. Drugs, mind control. I mean, it's obviously brainwashed you into thinking it's harmless already. John shifted on his feet. Rodney was so very wrong about this, and maybe that should have been reassuring, but he just wanted this conversation over with already. It's not like that, he said. It's more like... Christ, what could he say? He needed a lie, any lie. Something plausible that would throw Rodney off the scent. Okay, you remember that virtual reality thing on the Aurora? This is kind of like that. Virtual reality? Rodney's whole face changed. If he'd been a dog, his ears would have pricked up. Really? Is it cool? Seriously cool, John said without thinking. Okay, okay, Rodney said. All his concern transformed into eager curiosity, which was totally not what John had been going for here. So 8 hours. Well, make it 10. We'll meet here first thing in the morning. If you can get the force field down, we can check it out together. Might even be more fun with two, hmm? Oh, crap. Rodney. What? It's not that kind of virtual reality. John glanced around so he wouldn't have to look at Rodney's face when he explained. It's not really something that can be shared, okay? What do you mean? How personal could it possibly... Oh my God! Rodney's eyes went wide. You found an ancient sex toy, didn't you? Some kind of a virtual sex simulator. Admit it, you did. John's whole body went warm. He really had to remember not to skirt the truth around geniuses. They were way too good at figuring stuff out. Something like that. Jesus. Was it good? Okay, right. It had to have been good, or you wouldn't be coming back. Rodney was looking a little pink himself. Wait, it's not totally virtual, is it? Because you took off your clothes. Christ on a stick. Make that way, way too good at figuring stuff out. Actually, I just didn't want to be stuck with the laundry problem. Rodney blinked and managed to look almost as uncomfortable as John felt. Of course, that didn't stop him from continuing to pry. So it was really good, then. Because, you know, not that I'm not exceedingly well acquainted with my own right hand, but I always thought it would be, I don't know, pretty sterile to be having sex without another person there. Honestly? Okay, he still didn't want to talk about this. He really didn't. Yes, it was good. It was amazing, okay? Really? Yeah, John said. Really. Wow. Rodney mulled that over for a moment, and John could almost see the gears turning inside his head. Look, are you sure this is such a good idea? Because, okay, I'm not saying you're going to catch an ancient STD from it or anything, but isn't it, I don't know, just a little weird? You could check it out yourself, John heard himself say, which was wrong and crazy, and he really didn't want to share. But the words were already out. Come back in the morning. It's not like you don't have the gene. You just walk right up to it and it lets you through. Rodney looked torn between embarrassment, reluctance, and temptation. I don't know. I mean, not that I'm sure it isn't really, but I just... Suit yourself, John said. Not that he was relieved or anything. You heading back? Oh, yeah, sure, Rodney said, and they walked back toward the transporter together. But of course, Rodney being Rodney, he couldn't just gracefully drop the subject. So what's it like? He asked. Do you get to pick your virtual partner? Choose a blonde or a redhead? What? John almost laughed. That would totally be Rodney's idea of virtual sex, wouldn't it? It's not like that at all. When it starts out, you can't see or feel anything. Like... sensory deprivation. So when you do feel something, it's... a lot stronger, Rodney said. Huh. Yeah. John ducked into the transporter. Rodney followed him and made a show of pressing the location nearest John's quarters before John could touch anything. So, not entirely mollified there, which was perfectly ridiculous. Rodney really ought to know by now that he knew how to take care of himself. At least the transporter was instantaneous, and he didn't have to say anything more but good night before he got out. Rodney nodded back, still pink, as the doors closed between them.